بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه وذريته ومن اهتدى بهديه واستنى بسنته وانتهج نهجه إلى يوم الدين. تركنا المحجة البيضاء ليلها كنهارها لا يزول عنها إلا هالك. ثم أما بعد، الحمد لله. Are reading from Al-Fath al-Rabbani wal-Fayd al-Rahmani li-Siri Muhyiddin Abd al-Qadir al-Jilani radiyallahu anhu wa arda. And this is a book of 62 discourses or majalis, and there was a sunnah of the ulama, sunnah al-majalis. So majlis actually means place of sitting, or it could actually mean hay'at al-majlis, the way that we sit. And so, and they said things like "woman jalas ajanas," right? And whoever you sit with, whoever take as a companion, janas. So you take on their character traits. So the Sheikh Sheikh Abd al-Qadir Jilani, I think it's very fair to say that obviously his words penetrated the hearts of those who were listening to him, as well as his state. So there are the sunnas, the three sunnas that the Prophet ﷺ passed on. Sunnah of his words, and the sunnah of his af'al, of his acts and deeds, and then the sunnah of his spiritual states. So all three of those have been transmitted and have been passed on. And as we've seen, as the Sheikh has mentioned, many have availed themselves of the words of the Prophet ﷺ and the af'al, the deeds of the Prophet ﷺ, but not so many have been able to avail themselves of the maqamat, of the spiritual states of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And لا نزكي على الله أحداً, but we think that Sayyidina Abd al-Qadir Jilani is one of those people who was a Muhammadan heir. And what we mean by warith Muhammadi, someone who has received the legacy and has been a recipient of the transmission of the barakah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam via both his words, his deeds, and his states. And so these majalis, these discourses, as he was speaking, and they mentioned how he didn't have any notebooks. And in fact, he has exhorted us on several times that when you are sitting, تَتَكَلَّمْ مَعَ النَّاسِ, and you are sitting in a majlis and you're teaching them, it should be like the one who has been compelled to do so. And he described about himself that he left Baghdad, he was on the outskirts of the city, heading out to the desert, and he wanted to live a life of siyaha, right? Siyaha in their time didn't mean traveling to Paris and Milan and London, but siyaha was to be unknown, right? And wherever you are, and just have soul companionship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala via your travels. But then a voice called to him and said that your deen, or the salvation of your deen, is not in the siyaha. It's being in back with the people. It's bringing that which you have and bringing it to the people. And so that's one of the main themes that we have seen throughout the majalis, throughout the discourses. The Sheikh kind of lines out a program, and obviously he's speaking to his students, but they were joined by many others who are not necessarily his regular full-time students. So the message was that, you know, actualize what you need to actualize internally, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yuhayyi'uka. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will prepare you and will put you there in the place that you need to be, so that the da'wah, the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, will reach the proper recipient in the manner that it's supposed to be received. Because you can speak the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you might even be able to do the deeds of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you might be able to pray and fast and zakah, and so outwardly you have what looks like the sunnah, but you will not fully embody the sunnah and be a Muhammadan heir, right? Al-Irth al-Nabawi, ulama warathatul anbiya, the scholars are the heirs of the prophets, unless also you internalize and actualize his prophetic states, his spiritual states. And we spoke in a last session about the spiritual career of the Prophet. So alongside, let's say, the outward da'wah career of the Prophet ﷺ, and we talked about from his birth all the way to Fath Mecca and the conquest of Mecca, and what's traditionally studied in the seerah. But we also need to do another reading of the seerah, where we're looking at the spiritual trajectory of the Prophet ﷺ. How did the words, when he mentioned "Adabni Rabbi fa ahsana ta'dibi," my Lord has inculcated within me comportment and adab and etiquette, and he is the best of those who does this. How did that trajectory look from the first meeting in Ghar Hira with the archangel Gabriel, and he shook him rather strongly three times and said "Iqra," and he said "Ma ana biqari," three times, and then he recited the first Quran to him until he stood close to the Mount of Arafat, and he spoke "Fi Hajjat al-Wada," and he spoke in the farewell pilgrimage, and he gave his wasiya, right? Wasa, yani stawsu bin nisa'i khayra ila akhirih. And he said that there's no fadl lil arabi ala al ajami wa lil abyad ala al ahmar wa al ahmar ala al aswad ala al ahmar illa bi taqwa Allah. And he said there's no preference or tafdeel between people, not because of his ethnicity or skin color, but by the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is when the last verses of the Quran revealed to the Prophet ﷺ in Surah Al-Ma'idah, "Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islama deena." Right? This day I've completed the religion and I perfected the religion, I've completed the blessing, and I'm pleased with Islam as your deen. So throughout those whole 23 years of the career of the Prophet ﷺ, there's also a spiritual trajectory. And there was setback, there was loss, there were victories, you know, both on the battlefield, the real one, and on the spiritual battlefield as well. So our lives, to some degree, will mirror that, in as much as we can see our lives in this way. So rather than looking at circumstances that come our way and having constant objection to them, we should rather see them as opportunities by which we can actually live the prophetic life, live like the Prophet ﷺ. So just like he had challenges and he had tribulations in his life, so too we will be greeted with those as well. And Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani, as you can see, I think what he was trying to do with his discourses, with his majalis, was try to send this message, actualize, you know, have the state. And then you will find that your limbs and your jawarah and your nafs and your ego, they all fall in line, but inculcate within yourselves this prophetic character and this prophetic spirit that has been passed on via the ulama. And he also mentioned that these things cannot be gleaned just through books and the lines and words of books, but they also must be gained from majalis, right? From mujalasat al-ulama, from mujalasat al-mashayikh, from tarbiyat al-mashayikh, that you should have a spiritual guide, you should have people that you sit with, you should be associating with people wiser than you at some point in your life. And if you're not, and if you're just dealing with people who are infantile and childlike in their demeanor and that which they pin their hopes and dreams, and someone who's just concerned about what they eat and what they drink and, you know, where the next pleasure seeking ride will be, then you haven't really lived life. And you may still be doing all the outward things of Islam, and inshallah you'll have reward for this, but you cannot claim that you are embodying the full prophetic legacy, especially those who want to be involved in da'wah, those who want to be the messengers of the messenger, those who want to bring the risala, the message of the Prophet ﷺ, to others. There must be an internalization of the al-ahwal al-nabawiyyah. So we're up to the 62nd discourse, the last one. It's actually quite lengthy. It's almost equal to several discourses, but I've only picked out maybe several points we'll look at. Hopefully, inshallah, for the barakah, for the blessing, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept. So I'm just going to kind of pick out some lines here and there. I may not get a chance to jump to the English just in the interest of time, so I apologize for not being able to point that out. So in this 60-second discourse, he says, إذا أحببت الحق عز وجل وأحبك كفاك شر الدنيا والشهوات واللذات والنفس والهوى والشياطين فتأخذ أقسامك من غير ضرر ولا كدر. So it's almost like an aphorism. So he says, if you love al-haq, if you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he loves you, kafaka sharr ad-dunya, right? He will suffice you in terms of the evil of the dunya. He will repel it on your behalf. And the shahawat, right? And the passions, and the ladzat, the pleasures, and the nafs, and the ego, and the hawa, and the caprice, and the shayateen, and the satans, the devils. فَتَأْخُذُ أَقْسَامَكَ مِنْ غَيْرِ ضَرَرٍ وَلَا كَدَرٍ. Then you'll take your aqsam, that which is coming to you, min ghayri darar wa la kadar, darar without any harm, and kadar without any spiritual malaise, I guess is the best way to translate it, how I translate it. So the kadar is ma yuqabiluhu as-safa'. So as-safa' means purity, ease, feeling this connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amma al-kadar is the opposite, right? It kind of, it's tafarruq, it's farq. It not jama'ah, it brings you, draws you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't feel at one and at peace with the divine will and the divine commands and so forth. So we want safat, we don't want qadar. And if we think about it, humum ad-dunya kathira, the thing that people become preoccupied with in terms of the dunya, they worry about their jobs, they worry about their homes, they worry about their children, they worry about a million things that kind of is, it keeps them very busy. And the general principle is, if you make your hem one hem, من جعل همه هما واحدا كفاه الله الهموم. If you make your sole priority and focus and concern your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then He will take care of the rest for you. Allah is too generous then to leave you to your own devices after that. And part of the reason that we have all of this anxiety and trepidation and worry is because we think we have to do it all on our own. We tend to have the feeling that I got to fix this, I got to do that, and I got to take care of this, and I got to take care of that. And as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in the picture, right? And then we often say to ourselves, do your things yourself, depend on yourself, then depend upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And this then is problematic. Like, I need to do, and then Allah will take care of it. No, Allah will take care of it from the very beginning. And, aqilha wa tawakkal, right? It didn't say aqilha thumma tawakkal, aqilha wa tawakkal, as the Prophet ﷺ said. Tie the camel and have reliance. Don't translate it, then have reliance upon Allah, because that would be incorrect. You do both. And your tawakkul, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taking care of the situation for you is completely independent of what you do. We do what we do because this is the adab with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if you were not to do that, then it's like making a claim, Allah will deliver to me a miracle and He'll take care of me because I'm one of the awliya. Hada su adab, even the awliya don't do that. So the adab with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to respect the means, both the material means and the spiritual means. Right? That's why it's a sign of nifaq, hypocrisy. If you spare no material means, right, you set your alarm clock to go to work at 7 a.m. and you make sure your gas and your car is there and you have enough toll money, all of the asbab, and you get to the office on time so that you won't be, docked your pay or get any demerits in your, annual review. And so you take all of the means, but yet on the weekend, when you don't have to go to work, you don't set your alarm and you say, I'll wake up for Fajr, inshallah, it will happen. And you don't have the same sort of sense of urgency about it and scrupulousness. You just say, Allah will take care of it. No, take the means. Just like you took the means in your dunya, you need to take the means also for your akhirah. And that's the adab with Allah. But also, that is independent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taking care of you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will still take care of you, whether you take care of yourself or you don't take care of yourself. لا نسألك رزقا نحن رزقك والعاقبة للتقوى. We don't ask you to sustain yourself. Allah will sustain you, but العاقبة للتقوى. But you are expected to have taqwa. And من التقوى الأخذ بالأسباب. So from taqwa, from respecting the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, avoiding his prohibitions, is also to respect the asbab, respect the means. So in another section, he says, القوم عندهم شغل عن الخلق لكن يكلفون النظر إليهم والقعود معهم لأمرهم ونهيهم مثل القوم مع الخلق مثل قوم أرادوا أن يعبروا بحرا ويمضوا إلى ملك فعرف بعضهم طريقا فعبروا فلما حصلوا عنده يرى الملك بقية القوم يتخبطون يكادون يغرقون ولم يعرفوا الطريق التي سلكها الأوائل فأمر من وصل إليه أن يعودوا إليهم يعرفوهم الطريق التي جاءوا منها فجاءوا فوقفوا على المشرعة ونادوهم الطريق ها هنا فجعلوا يدلونهم فلما قربوا منهم أخذوا بأيديهم أصل هذا قوله تعالى وقال الذي آمن يا قوم اتبعوني أهلكم سبيل الرشاد. So he gives a nice example here. He said القوم, and القوم is المشايخ, the ones who have been set up for tarbiyah and have embodied the spiritual states of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said they are busy with their own ibadah. If they were given the choice, they would just between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they wouldn't have to have, you know, the hem and the trouble of dealing with people. But it's like this example, like a people who wanted to cross the sea and get to the other side where the king is. Okay. So some of them found the way and they crossed the sea. So when they got there, the king saw that the rest of them, not all the people ever crossed the sea, the king saw the rest of them actually not making it and maybe drowning and not getting to the other side. Right? They're getting messed up and they may be even close to drowning. And they didn't know how to find their way from the sea like the first group. So the king ordered those who had already arrived to his palace to go back and show the others how to get across and show them the way how they got across. So they got there and they stood on, you know, the sail of the boat and they said, "At-tariq ha-huna." This is the way. And so they showed them the way to cross the sea and get to the other side. And he said, the asr, the foundation for this principle is in the Quran. وَقَالَ الَّذِي آمَنَ يَا قَوْمِ اتَّبِعُونِ أَهْدِكُمْ سَبِيلَ الرَّشَادِ. And the one who believed, who had iman, he said to the people, يَا قَوْمِ اتَّبِعُونِ, follow me, and I will guide you to سَبِيلَ الرَّشَادِ, the way of guidance. And the Prophet ﷺ also was of this nature, of this caliber. He had him and his Lord. But he had a risala, he had a mission, he had something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed upon his shoulders. You know, when Abu Bakr as-Siddiq saw that he had some gray hairs in his beard or in his hair, he's like, Ya Rasulullah shibta. You know, Ya Rasulullah, you've gotten some gray. He's like, Shayabatni Hud wa akhawatuha. Hud and its sisters, the chapter of Hud in the Quran and its sisters like it have given me this gray. And they said that the verse in Surah Hud, فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتْ, was the one particularly, فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتْ, so be upright as you have been commanded. هَذِي شَيَّبَتْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. This verse made the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم feel the ibit of the risala, and the way they described him on the eve of Badr, and how he raised his arms in dua until the whiteness of his armpits shone, but even though Allah SWT had guaranteed him victory, and on the few hours earlier, he was showing the Sahaba on the very battlefield where they would fight the next day. He said, you know, Utba will fall here, and Abu Jahl is going to fall here, and this person is going to fall here, and the angels were going to come anyway. But yet, this was the demeanor, this was the beautiful adab of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with his Lord. So do not be the same. So they come back to us to lead us, to show us how to get across the sea. So the guide or the sheikh or the wiser person or the mentor, there's someone who's traversed that path already and they're aware of the pitfalls and the dangers and they're just trying to help us get across so we can get across to the other side. And the other side here in this sense is ma'rifa, it's guidance, it's knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then I'm going to move on, and he says in another section, هذا الأمر, and he's talking about this way, how do you get to it, this معرفة, إنما يصح بوجهين اثنين. الأول هو المجاهدة والمكابدة وحمل الأشق والأتعب والغالب المعروف بين الصالحين. والثاني موهبة من غير تعب وهو ناذر لأحد الخلق يهب لواحد معرفته والمحبة له يأخذه من بين أهله وصنيعته ويظهر فيه قدرته يأخذه من قطع الطريق ويرقيه إلى الصومعة ويخرج الخلق من قلبه ويفتح عليه باب قربه ويأخذه من هذيان حتى يكفيه أدنى شيء يلزقه فهما وحكمة وحكما وعزا يسير كل من يراه يتعظ به كل ما يسمعه يتعظ به ولا يعمل إلا بما يقربه إليه يأمر بالهداية والعناية والكفاية لا ينقطعون عنه يسير كما قال الله عز وجل في حق يوسف على نبينا وعليه الصلاة والسلام كذلك لنصرف عنه السوء والفحشاء إنه من عبادنا المخلصين. So he said this way, this ma'rifah, there's two ways to get to it, or two valid ways to get to it, wujhain. The first, mujahada and mukabada, to struggle and to strive and to follow the sunnah, obviously, in the best as you can, وحمل الأشق والأتعب, and, you know, it's incremental and doing your best as the days and nights go by. وهو الغالب المعروف بين الصالحين. This is the غالب and the معروف. This is the majority for the صالحين. For the صالحين, this is how they get there, the mujahada. والثاني, the other way, موهبة من غير تعب. Something Allah gives to you without much struggle. وَهُوَ نَادِرٌ And it's rare, لِأَحَادِ الْخَلْقِ Right, to a few people. يَأْخُذُهُ مِنْ قَطَعَ الطَّرِيقِ وَيُرَقِّيهِ إِلَى الصَّوْمَعَةِ So he takes you from what was iniquity before, and then he takes you to the صَوْمَعَة here, figuratively, you know, the temple, or the place of worship. So you might have been a thief before, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you become the murad. So the first one is the murid, the first path. This is the path of the murad. And then creation leaves his heart and he opens the door for his qurb. He opens the door for nearness for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then gives him understanding and wisdom and dignity by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then everyone that sees this person, yata'idu bihi. So just being in the presence of such a person is a maw'idha. They don't have to say anything. Just being around them, right? This is the oral transmission, A-U-R-A-L. And this can only come about with someone who embodies the spiritual states of the Prophet ﷺ, because the only other people who are able to do that are either prophets or the heirs of prophets. Even the Ubadwin and the Zuhad, for the most part, those who just strive in Ibadah and Zuhud, but don't have the actualization of the spiritual state, will not be able to do that with the Khalq, with creation, like the ones who imbibe it. وَلَا يَعْمَلُ إِلَّا بَمَا يُقَرِّبُهُ إِلَيْهِ And he does nothing or she does nothing except that which brings them closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then they show to guidance, then they show to inaya and kifaya, all these beautiful things, and they never cease from doing it. And then they are like what was mentioned about Sayyidina Yusuf upon him and upon our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كَذَلِكَ لِنَصْرِفَ عَنْهُ السُّوءَ وَالْفَحْشَاءَ And this is how we remove from them السُّوءَ وَالْفَحْشَاءَ So evil and fahsha and corruption. إِنَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا الْمُخْلَصِينَ He is from our sincere servants. So, sounds like the second way is easier and better. How do I avail myself of that? Even though he said it's لِنَادِرْ النَّاسِ لِلْأَفْرَادِ For not too many people, there are ways to avail oneself of this. And the surest way, and I say this from my own personal experience, the surest way and the shortest way is to be with the salihin, right? Is to be with the awliya, is to be with people who embody these virtues and these attributes. You can spend 20 years praying qiyam al-layl and fasting and doing these things, and you will have a spiritual state and you will be, inshallah, min al-abrar, right? And you will be bar. But will you be from the muqarrabin? Will you be from those that are mentioned like in this second part? Not impossible, we can't say that. Allahu a'lam. But the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been that those who spend time and align themselves with the heirs of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are the ones who find this sort of felicity and this sarf, al-fahsha, al-munkar, and husu, and these things removed, then you become the murad. So they shorten the path for you. And also, you know, imagine you're lost in the woods and you want to get to your destination and you don't even have a flashlight and it's at night and it's dark and there's no moonlight and you just, you know, you're beating around and you may get to your destination. It's possible. But if you have a guide and that guide has a flashlight and that guide actually has traversed this path before and they know the way, which one would you prefer to be with? Which route would you rather go? So there will always be people like that. Those will be people who are going to be equipped to do this because this is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran. Inna nahnu nazzalna al-dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidhun. We have sent down the dhikr, the remembrance, wa inna lahu lahafidhun. And we are the ones, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who will preserve it. So, hatta hadha al-lafdh al-aam al-dhikr, right? The remembrance means that it's comprehensive. So it includes obviously the Quran and it includes the meanings and the words of the hadith of the Prophet. And they said it includes all of the disciplines as well. So there's always going to be people in know the science of tajweed and of aqidah and of fiqh and usul al-fiqh and lugha arabiyya and balagha and nahw and sarf and also ilm al-tazkiyah, the science of spiritual discipline. There are always going to be people who are going to be do that. And so don't believe the naysayers and say, oh, you know, there's no more people like Ghazali or Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani or exactly like them. No. But what we need for our particular time to be equipped in our particular time, no, they have to be there because this is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They may not be as accessible as before, easy to find, but they say if the meaning is in your heart and the raghba and the sincerity is in your heart, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring them to you rather than you searching for them. So let's move on to another point. Did they hear that? It's ice cream truck. So sorry. We'll get that later after the desk. He has another nice example, and we've seen this before with Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani, of here Sayyidina Musa, alayhi salam, where he says, من طلب رضا الله عز وجل ووجهه صار كما قال الله عز وجل في حق موسى عليه السلام وحرمنا عليه المراضع من قبل. He said, whoever seeks the pleasure of God, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ووجهه his countenance, يعني seeking Allah, صار كما قال الله. Then they will be like the one that Allah SWT has said about, like Musa عليه السلام. وحرمنا عليه المراضع من قبل. And we have forbidden all the wet nurses from before. And those who are familiar with the story of Musa, of Moses عليه السلام, his mother received an inspiration from Allah SWT that after Pharaoh was looking for all of the firstborns of Bani Israel and executing them because of the Munajjimun or the Sahara, you know, the astrologers or the magicians told him that one of these firstborns is going to destroy you. So he wanted to fight the Sabiqa, right? He wanted to fight the Qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so she received inspiration to put baby Moses in the Nile and send him down the river and not know what his destination would be. So tawakkalat ala Allah, she had complete reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewarded her even in her life. Harramna alayhi al-maradi'a min qabl. So the house of Pharaoh couldn't find any wet nurses that he would nurse from until the sister of Musa alayhi salam, his older sister, came and told him, I have someone who he will nurse from. And it was none other than his own mother. But even though Pharaoh's house and family were not aware of this, but Where is the ishara? This is what we call tafsir ishari. This is an allusion, A-L-L-U-S-I-O-N. So what it's alluding to, that the Shaykh is pointing out, that if you truly seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his rida, then he will make forbidden for you iniquities and evil. And he will give you that path that we talked about earlier, the path of the murad. the path of the one who has been chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, يحرم على قلب هذا المحب الصادق مرضى كل محدث مخلوق يكون بعد أن لم يكن ينصب لبن جميع المرادة في حلقه للغيرة الإلهية. So again, going with the metaphor, this muhib is sadiq, this true lover and sincere lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of the wet nurses of the dunya, of the that's muhdath, that is not Allah, that is temporal, will not enter the heart because it's makhluq. Why? Because now you have literally or figuratively suckled from the divine well, right? And you have tasted the divine meanings. So all the other meanings will seem nothing. There will be Allah says, يَصْرُفُكَ عَنْ ذَلِكَ, right? None of those will have, you'll have no appetite for them. And you'll find them very boring and rather uninteresting, you know, and you won't be interested in them. And the things that people talk about all day, about the comings and goings and who did what and who did this and قَالَ وَقِيلَ and this person مِشْعَرَفْ إِشْ and this politician did that and this person did this and, you know, all of this hem and shughul qalb, and most of it based upon news sources that are probably incorrect and definitely orchestrated to elicit a certain opinion. Yet people spend most of their time like talking about this and that and who's this Instagram influencer and what were they wearing and what type of Hermes bag did they have and coach or whatever. Nonsense. So all of that will become quite uninteresting to you. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you a taste of the real. He's given you a taste of the haqq. And so the false, the batil, doesn't have any taste for you. Like what he did for Musa alayhi salam, وَحَرَّمْنَا عَلَيْهِ الْمَرَاضِعَ مِنْ قَبْلِ. So then he goes on to say, ما زال هذا المؤمن العارف يرضي الرسول بالعمل معه حتى يستأذن لقلبه على ربه عز وجل ويكون كالغلام بين يديه فإذا طالت خدمته قال يا أستاذ أرني باب الملك أشغلني معه أوقفني موضعا أراه أترك يدي في حلقة باب قربه فأخذه معه وقربه من الباب قيل له ما معك يا محمد ما معك يا سفير يا دليل يا معلما فيقول إنك تعلم فريخ قد ربيته ورضيته لخدمة هذا الباب ثم يقول لقلبي ها أنت وربك كما قال جبريل عليه الصلاة والسلام لما رقي به إلى السماء وأدناه من ربي عز وجل ها أنت وربك. So the heart, just to paraphrase, that follows this way, that follows the path of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم and stays in the khidmah, stays in the path and following the sunnah, then eventually the heart will seek permission to go to the door of the king, to go to the door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to get the ma'ani, to get the meanings directly to the sir, to the innermost being. And once it's done that, much in the same way that Jibreel took the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the highest point, to Sidrat al-Muntaha, to the furthest low tree, while Jibreel could no go no further, and all that he can say to the Prophet ﷺ, Muhammad, at this time, ha anta wa rabbuk, right? And this is what will be done also for the one seeking Allah. And our mashayikh, they told us also that this is the job of the shaykh or the murabbi. Takes you across the sea, and then he leaves you to the other shore, and then he says to you, ha anta wa rabbuk, here is you and your Lord, and this is where you go on from here. So we're quickly running out of time. So maybe I'll just choose one more thing. So this last thing, it's a very short sentence, but I think it summarizes the methodology of the Shaykh that we've seen thus far. He says, جهل ثم علم ثم عمل وإخلاص ثم علم ثان وعمل ثان سكوت ثم نطق فناء عنك ووجود ثم وجود به يا موت القلوب. This is the methodology of Sayyid al-Qadr Jilani. He says جهل, you come from ignorance first, you don't know anything. ثم علم, what type of علم? العلم الشرعي, right? Study the seerah, study fiqh, know how to pray properly and know نواقد الوضوء, on any madhab, on any school of thought, what the tahara rules are, what is, you know, الماء المطلق, you know, what is water that can be used for wudu, and what is الماء النجس, وما ينجس الماء, how does water become unusable for wudu, and these sorts of things, how much money do I need to have to pay the zakah, and how much do I have to pay, and who do I have to pay it to? And we should, if you are a serious student, then either you learn this yourself, or make sure you have access to someone who can show you how to, who can teach it to you, or you can at least ask. But to kind of, you know, I've encountered people who just, you know, they shop, just like they shop on Amazon or souk.com to, and they, you know, they're looking for the right thing that fits what they want. They kind of do the same thing with their deen. And this is, at the end, you'll come out with an empty basket, right? Empty cart, I should say. Go to the Amazon checkout page and a cart will say empty, because you can't keep just jumping around. Align yourself, right, with someone that you trust, or ask someone that you trust to help to align with someone that you trust. And, you know, this was the way of our societies and our communities. You know, each hay, each neighborhood had a teacher, had a sheikh, had a murabbi, just like we couldn't imagine living in a place, at least in many people live in the Western world, so to speak. You need to have X number of physicians per 1,000 people and something like that. And we couldn't imagine that there's not enough physicians to go around. That's a kertha, right? It's a calamity. But yet we accept this in terms of our deen. And we don't even think about when we move and the neighborhood that we want to become a part of and the families that we associate with and so forth. Do we think about the deen in making those decisions and, you know, the schools we send our children to, and or should, you know, should the deen be the thing that is the most important thing? So, علم. So, جهل ثم علم. Then you have to learn. ثم عمل وإخلاص. Now you have to put that knowledge to work. So, the عمل is putting it to work, but the عمل is not going to have any meaning in it unless there is إخلاص, unless there is sincerity. So, it's not just performativity, as they say. It's you have to do it and you have to be as sincere as you can. So that means the amal part is the outward, is the Islam, but then there has to be iman and ihsan, which is the inner part, or as the Sheikh says, iman and iqan, and conviction and ikhlas. So when you do it with ikhlas, you do it with sincerity, and this is where you need to have a murabbi, and you need to have at least a good group of friends who act as mirrors for one another, and mu'min mar'atu al-mu'min, the believer is the mirror of the believer. Then, inshallah, you will make your way towards more sincere worship and more sincere acts, and you will spend less time gossiping and spreading rumor and innuendo and criticizing and just engaging in things that really destroy your deen. ثُمَّ عِلْمٌ ثَانٍ. Then a second knowledge comes. What's this second knowledge? هَذَا الْعِلْمِ اللَّدُنِّي. Right now, you have a more specific type of knowledge. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give you futuhat, inshallah, and nafahat and barakat. And He'll give you, you know, lift the veil or lift the curtain a little bit. And you'll see the power of the salah, of the prayer, and you see the meanings in it. And when you read Quran, it will be different. And you'll come out with things. And even in your subconscious, you'll be contemplating the meanings and so forth. And Allah will put this into your heart. We talked about the khawatir in the previous session, the notions or the notion that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now these things will come to you, inshallah, if not on a regular basis, but at least periodically. هذا العلم الثاني. وعمل ثاني. Then there is عمل ثاني. What عمل is this? Now that you have this more specific type of علم, then there's going to be more عمل. Now you have to pay the zakat on this علم that you have, this knowledge, and so you will also you know, be instructed to spread this, to bring this message to others, because now you have embodied some of the spiritual states of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, not just outwardly in word and deed, but now internally. So this is the al-ilm al-thani, or al-amal al-thani. This is the other amal, right? This is the fard kifaya. This is now what you have, will be burdened with. Sukutun thumma nutq, fana'un ank thumma wujudun bihi. Now, a parallel to this, when you are at the jahl level, sukut, right? We should be silent. We don't say anything unless we have something good to say, or we know something that's going to be a benefit to others. Otherwise, we don't speak. Thumma nutq, right? Thumma nutq. So it begins with sukut and nutq. Then you will speak when you have entered into the stage of al-ilm al-thani wa al-amal al-thani, now that you've internalized these states. And also parallel to this, on a third level, فَنَاءٌ عَنْكَ ثُمَّ وَجُودٌ بِهِ فَنَاءٌ عَنْكَ. So internally there is فَنَاء, you become utterly unconcerned with the I and the me and the self, and what do I want, and what are my passions, and why is this happening to me, and why couldn't it be like this, and why can it be any different, and all this objection and اعتراضات على الحق. So that sukut has to be accompanied by فَنَاء. So the فَنَاء means you become oblivious to this, and you become unconcerned with the I and the me and the self. Then when you have this fana via dhikr and via a regular litany and routine of spiritual practices of salah, zakah, dhikr, and so forth, thumma wajudun bihi, then you will come back. This is called al-baqa, or as the Sheikh says here, wujudun bihi. Then you'll have a new existence. And sometimes they say it's like coming to life once again. So after the death of the nafs, so to speak, you cross that threshold where the nafs is not the one leading you around, but then you enter into the other side, the other realm, as it were, where your sirr and your ruh, right? The best part of you now is in charge, and it's getting its instruction from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you'll have wujud bihi, right? Then you'll exist, but you'll exist by Allah. So you're existing by Allah the whole time, but all of you was not consistent with that. All of you was not acknowledging with that. Certainly your nafs was not acknowledging that. It says, no, I have an independent existence and I do what I do and I need my stuff. But once you go through the fanat and the nafs, you know, whimpers down and is kind of in a corner and then submits and says, okay, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. And then you say, well, anta mawjudun billah, wujudaka billah. You say to your nafs, your wujud, your existence is by Allah, not by anything else, then wujudun bihi, then all of you becomes to realize this, and then you have crossed that sea and you've gotten to the other side, as the Sheikh said earlier. So those were just a few excerpts from the last discourse, the last chapter. So we will stop here.